I'm Lauren Horwitz, and I'm the Senior Managing Editor of searchvirtualdatacenter.co.uk, and welcome to this special edition podcast. So we're here to discuss the upcoming VMworld Europe 2010, which takes place in Copenhagen on October 12th through 14th. And we'd also like to talk about our new Best of VMworld User Awards program, which recognizes innovative uses of virtualization among European-based companies. And we just launched this program this year to recognize the sometimes strange and interesting use cases of virtualization taking place in Europe. So first, I'd like to welcome our guests, Mike Laverick, a contributor to searchvirtualdatacenter.co.uk, among many other sites in the TechTarget network, and Gabri Van Zanten, a contributor to searchvmware.com. And this year, both of you served as judges in our Best of VMworld Europe User Awards program. So welcome, Mike and Gabri.
Thank you.
And for just to give listeners a very brief background on the program, we reviewed more than 80 nominations for IT projects among European-based companies. And we were really looking for projects that demonstrate innovation, cost savings, performance, and other business efficiency improvements. And you can find out more details about this user awards program on searchvirtualdatacenter.co.uk, where we're also going to be featuring coverage from VMworld Europe 2010. So now to get onto the user awards, Gabri, I'd like to start with you. You co-judged two categories, server consolidation and disaster recovery. And I thought maybe you could just tell us a little bit about some of the standout characteristics among our winners, which we've just chosen. So can you tell me a little bit about their characteristics and how they might have moved beyond sort of the predictable use cases in these categories?
Of course. What I was glad to read about, especially in the server virtualization category, was that more and more companies nowadays start virtualizing without any doubt if SQL or Exchange can run virtual. In previous years, you could often see that they did virtualize their web servers, some print servers, and maybe one or two file servers. But nowadays, you can see that really anything is being virtualized, even SAP or Oracle installations are running virtual without any doubt that it will work. In that category, that was what struck me the most, and which, as a virtualization fan, I'm always happy to see. In the disaster recovery area, I saw that more and more companies are really thinking about good disaster recovery. And most of them, and I think mainly because storage nowadays offers a lot of features, most of them really go one step further and move to second data centers in a way that they can switch almost instantly, and even not just for disaster recovery, but also for, switching maybe every 2-3 months just to make sure that the disaster recovery scenario is still working.
So you've talked a little bit about virtualizing some mission-critical applications and really having more of a long-term kind of DR strategy. And what does that say to you about how companies have kind of embraced virtualization as... Do you see them as having embraced it as sort of core to their business priorities and their long-term strategies moving forward?
Yeah, it's definitely core adoption at this moment. So there's no longer any long discussions about whether virtualization should be done, yes or no. It's more like how much can we do? And even though most of them are still thinking on reducing the number of servers and also reducing costs, you also see that more and more companies are learning about the strategic advantage they get with virtualization. The way they really look at their business and say, well, virtualization can help my business instead of just making sure more servers run on less hardware.
And so now, Mike, I want to turn to you, and I hope you didn't spend too many late nights poring over these many entries that you reviewed. You guys both did a valiant job of reviewing so many nominations. And you handled, Mike, a few different categories, remote or home office, desktop virtualization, and you sort of, you've done some pinch hitting on the cloud categories. So I have similar questions for you about what sort of were the standout characteristics and what kind of interesting and ambitious projects you saw in your categories.
Sure. I mean, I think I was kind of lucky in the fact that I got such very different categories to begin with, because it took us all the way from very small scale to large scale implementations. And also slid into the middle of that the virtual desktop sort of issues as well. So it was rich in that respect. From the home office, remote office kind of perspective, we were really impressed with a real level of innovation, which was driven by trying to do a lot with very little indeed, as you would expect with a home lab or a remote office environment. And we were very impressed with the wide range of technologies that we use, both commercial and freeware. And there was some stuff in there that was like, you know, the kind of really crazy bonkers stuff that the virtualization community and the VMware community in particular has kind of become notorious for to some degree. So that was a real pleasure to judge. The virtual desktop category was very, very tight. There was two particular entries which were very close to each other. Again, though, the one that kind of won out was the one that was using a blend of technologies that wasn't just seeing VDI as a way of porting their existing Windows XP build into a virtual environment, but using it as a platform for making the step into Windows 7, which is the kind of agenda that a lot of people thought this year would kind of drive adoption of virtual desktop. And the other thing that was impressive about the candidates that we awarded to was they didn't stop at the kind of OS level. They were quite happy to introduce concepts of user virtualization and application virtualization. So they really took the bull by the horns and saw where they could take this virtual desktop thing to, which was a real pleasure because a lot of virtual desktop projects are just a port of an existing build to a virtual machine. And we were really looking for something that wanted to push the envelope further. And then moving to the cloud category, I think this was probably the hardest category to judge because there is an element, I think, of some people quickly renaming their virtual infrastructure and saying, oh, now it's a cloud. And for a scary moment, I think in the early part of the judging process, we felt that there was even a possibility that we might not be able to even award a winner in this particular category. But in the kind of second round of submissions that we got, we managed to find one or two candidates that did, you know, tick the boxes, if you like, in terms of what we expect a cloud implementation to deliver. And I guess that kind of reflects to some degree where we are on that journey, to use that buzzword again, to the cloud, that it's still early days, that it kind of reflects its maturity or perhaps the lack of maturity in the cloud. But it's nice to see these early adopters, if you like, there, because somebody has to start those baby steps to the cloud. And so it was nice to sort of see those initial steps being taken even now.
And would you say that for some of these guys, were as much as virtualization might have become somewhat commoditized, we're really seeing some fearless, maybe not renegade, but fearless uses of virtualization to do new things and not just upgrades or to new OSs, et cetera?
Sure. I mean, definitely in the home remote office category, you would expect to see a lot more innovation because the cost limitations forces somebody to really think out of the box to some degree and not just chuck money at the problems they have, but think more laterally. On the desktop side, the people who won that category had really gone out to, you know, do a very large deployment, and we were pleased to award to somebody who'd done, you know, hundreds and thousands of virtual desktops. But what was interesting is that the other categories in that particular area, it was still the case that the year of the virtual desktop, as it was touted, still hadn't really arrived. And there was an element that the virtual desktop remains a kind of turnkey solution, which doesn't eclipse other application delivery methods like server-based computing or the PC itself, or bring your own PC. And in the cloud category, there's a definite sense that the cloud is a long-term aspiration as opposed to something that we're arriving at. So as I just said a moment ago, it was baby steps that we were seeing at that stage. But I think, as Gabri was saying a moment ago, the agenda's moved on from virtualizing. It's now saying, well, what can we do to bring in new applications, cloud and virtual desktops in particular, that deliver some sort of service to end users rather than just taking the existing estates that people have and P2Ving them into a virtual machine. There's another layer being put on top of the virtualization stack, if you like. Call it DR, call it virtual desktops, call it the cloud, which is, you know, there's almost, to some degree, even obscuring to some degree, the original foundations of virtualization itself.
So you've given, hopefully, some of our listeners an agenda while they're in Copenhagen. And we're hoping that we'll hear more about both of your observations from the show, which takes place October 12th through 14th in Copenhagen. And search virtualdatacenter.co.uk will be there. And we have a booth in the Solutions Exchange Theater as well. So I want to thank everyone for listening, and I especially want to thank Mike and Gabri for providing their thoughts on our new User Awards program and VMworld Europe. So thank you guys. Until next time, this is Lauren Horwitz from searchvirtualdatacenter.co.uk.